Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton live at ASTD 2014 in Washington, D.C. We're wrapping up day two. Stone, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic, and helping us bring it home for day two, we have with us learning and development professional with a great deal of experience and expertise around the luxury arena. So this is going to be a fun conversation. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Miss Victoria McDonald. How you doing?
I'm doing great today. Thank you.
So now we're here to talk a little bit about learning reinforcement. How important is that in design today?
It's incredibly important because once they leave the classroom, they go back to their jobs, and the likelihood of them forgetting what they've learned in the classroom is 80-90%.
80 or 90%?
It's really that
You're
high.
Kidding
90%.
Me.
Yes.
80 or 90?
80 to 90%.
Then why bother having it in the first place?
Because that's the piece we need to be focusing on is the reinforcement.
The reinforcement is more important than the actual event.
I would say so.
Right?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I guess that's you got to kind of open your mind to that, though, right? Like, do clients really understand that? Do companies understand that if you don't include reinforcement, you're just wasting your time?
It's all part of the conversation you want to have with your business owner. What behavior do you want them doing differently once they return back to their jobs? Or what skill do they need to develop? And in order to support that, in terms of the retention process, that has to happen at the beginning. That conversation, that dialogue needs to be happening at the beginning, and it needs to inform your entire instructional design process.
Now, there's reinforcement after the fact. Is there pre-work before the fact, too?
Reinforcement happens all the way through before you even touch them.
You got to prep the surface, just like painting, right?
Absolutely, you have it. So those types of reinforcement efforts can be just involving them, making them think about sending out an email and then thinking about a business problem that they might be facing, or sending out communications in advance and getting them to think about how am I going to use this on my job. And then reinforcement also happens while they're in the classroom in terms of you can have them look at, you can have different workbooks that have open-ended questions. It's so important to have them continue the dialogue while they're in the classroom. So you present a concept and then have them go off in pairs and talk about, okay, how am I going to apply this back at my job?
Well, that's an interesting point right there. Working in pairs or groups of three or whatever the magic number is, there's some brain science, psychological, social science that kind of backs up. That's a good. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
A little bit. Actually, I went to the session yesterday by David Rock, who heads up the Neural Leadership Institute. And
so we have to have you talk about it quickly because
okay.
You're going to lose it right in a couple days, isn't
yes.
that right?
I almost forgot.
If you don't talk about it today, Victoria,
we're in trouble.
It's gone.
We're in a peak period here. Right. We should take advantage of it.
So, yeah, what'd you learn in this workshop?
So David says after 15 minutes.
Oh, my.
Uh-oh, it could be too late.
After 15 minutes, stop and do something different. So if you're talking, okay. You're presenting a concept, stop and have them break into groups, you know, groups of twos or a whole table and talk about, again, how are they going to apply that concept. Do something that changes you know, the focus of the brain. Give the brain a rest in one area and activate it in another. And that should happen every 15 minutes or so.
And then by you sharing what you learned, that probably helps you retain it too.
Absolutely.
Right?
Because you start thinking about how you're going to apply it and you start hearing other people's perspectives. And most importantly, you start putting it in your own words. So you start owning it.
Oh, I bet that's huge. You know, I think, and I'm sure he wasn't the first, but I think Covey was pretty good about encouraging you. As soon as you get to a certain point of understanding of this material, please turn around and go teach it.
Yes.
There's something to that. And I think a lot of it is putting it in your own nomenclature, right?
Like exactly. So teach backs are another great example of how you can reinforce the learning. Uh-huh. Role plays are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And something that's often overlooked, it's not given enough time, is reflection. And I think that's critically important to just stop and give people time to think about it. And you can prompt them with questions There is a field of learning called, a methodology called disruptive inquiry, mm-hmm. and you present uncomfortable questions. So
is this kind of like what we're doing
now? What
you're
doing here. Exactly.
Lee is a grandmaster.
I'm demonstrating that.
Okay, I know he's not going to let us get away without doing it, so I get the chance to, mm-hmm. to pose the question instead of him. What about gamification? Have you run into that much where you're adding some kind of gaming element almost? And what's your take on this? Are you for it, against it, or the jury's still out for you?
I think it's another tool in the toolbox. Okay. I don't like the name. I think it sort of gives a pejorative sound to what you're doing. And
so we got to class it up.
So
you're a luxury expert.
So
you know we got to class this up. Who better to come up with a better word than you?
I think of it all as, you know, just, you know, creating involvement, creating engagement.
It's just a variation of engagement,
type of,
right?
I mean, we play Jeopardy in the classroom. Is that gamification, if you want to call it such, so on.
Now, what about smiley faces? How many smiley faces?
I love to see my participants smile.
Survey smiley faces. Are you a fan of that?
Level one assessment, yeah, you want to know that they're happy in the classroom and they're leaving, you know, in good spirits, but it cannot stop there. And
that's kind of
it's table stakes.
Yeah.
But I don't think it should be dismissed. I mean, sometimes I think I hear people talking about those sheets as, you know, they kind of dismiss it. It's important. We need that level. We just don't stop there, right?
Yes. If you talk to the Kirkpatricks, you can't skip levels. It's a process.
Yeah, good point.
See, we had them in earlier. If I would have known that, I would have asked them.
I would have asked them about it. But and we had the smart one in here, too. We had Wendy. We didn't just have Jim.
Uh-huh.
We had the boss and the brains.
Can I get back to one thing that...
Sure.
Absolutely.
This is really about you.
It is. It's all about me.
I'm sorry Lee took us off track. He does that sometimes. Go ahead.
One of the most critical pieces of retention is and reinforcing the learning is the manager. So, you know, we talked about considering reinforcement all the way from the beginning before you get them in the classroom as part of the design process. You also need to engage the manager. So before they get in the classroom, making sure that the managers know what the topics are, what the learning objectives are, what type of behaviors to expect when they come back into the workplace. And then making it as easy as possible for the managers, once they get back to the workplace, to sustain the learning and reinforce the learning. So even if you're giving them templates, or you're giving them coaching guides, or you're giving them observation checklists, make it as easy for the managers, because not every manager is a natural coach. And coaching is so much an important part of the reinforcement process. So, you know, you're the expert. Make it easy for them.
Now, what about accountability? I mean, there's something to making it easier for the manager, but isn't the learner ultimately accountable for learning?
We're all accountable for
their
learning.
We're all accountable?
Yes. I'm accountable for their learning. The manager is accountable for the learning. The business is accountable for their learning.
The learner?
And the learner is accountable for the learning. And some of the techniques that we've used are journaling. I love journaling. Again, it's that moment of reflection time, asking them some prompting, uncomfortable questions. So not just how are you going to use this technique in your interaction with clients, but how will this technique help you in working with an angry client?
Oh,
so
get very specific.
Bit,
specific like that.
Exactly like that. Setting up with a peer-to-peer relationship. So, when, you know, using a buddy system once they leave the classroom so they can hold each other accountable.
Right. Now, what about mentoring? Are you a big fan of that?
I am a big fan of that.
Do you see that enough in companies?
I don't see that enough in companies, and I don't see it structured enough that it's done well. It's sometimes a bit haphazard, and that can lead to some very frustrating and disappointing results.
So is it too easy to try to just wing? Like, well, yeah, I'll take a guy on. I'll mentor. Right.
Yeah.
How hard could that be?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I just had developed an agent-to-agent mentoring plan while I was at Sotheby's International Realty, and that was... One of the complaints I heard from the brokerage managers is, I don't know how to choose a mentor.
Yeah.
Mentors are sometimes just doing it for the money.
They get paid extra?
Oh, they get paid more.
They share a commission.
Oh,
very
potentially.
Nice.
All right. So yeah, it depends. The agreements can vary from.
I hadn't thought about that, Lee. I'd be delighted to mentor
you
for
a piece of the
through
action,
these next couple of deals, anyway.
So it's important for everyone to understand what the expectations are for a manager to, you know, just have some guidelines. How do I go about picking a good mentor? And for a mentor to understand, okay, here are some of your commitments from a time standpoint, what we expect from you, and also for the mentee, what they can expect.
All right, so what are you going to try to get out of the next, what, day and a half while you're here? This thing's kind of winding down after tomorrow, right?
It is. I'm taking the train back home. Amtrak's going to be picking me up.
But you've had a good time. You've attended some conferences. You've caught up with some friends and you've met some new ones.
I'm here every year. I won't say how many years I've been coming, but I've never missed one.
So you're a big fan of ASTD.
I love ASTD. ASTD has provided me mentorship. It's provided me job opportunities.
And
it keeps
the network,
me fresh.
Right?
Yes.
And a collaborative group of people. They're trying to help
folks.
They're
the best people.
That's right.
And you know what ASTD stands for?
What is that?
Ask someone to drink.
There you go.
Oh, no, ask someone to dance.
I did not know that. They didn't tell me that when I sat down here.
Well, that's the pearl of the day right there. That is fantastic. I cannot think of a more delightful way to close out day two here. Thank you so much, Victoria.
Let's go get some drinks.
You got it. All right. We will be back in the morning for the show floor of ASTD Ice 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.